Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's the breakfast that brings cheers from coast to coast. The breakfast that wins praise from many a He-Man Hollywood movie star, too. It's swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat with milk or cream and fruit. These king-size, ready-to-serve premium grains of rice or wheat are shot from guns. Yes, actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them crisp and tender as nuts in November. Tomorrow, sure, try this thrifty deluxe breakfast treat. You'll cheer, too, for Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
The great dog King stood on the shore of Herschel Island, not far from the Northwest Mounted Post. His nose was thrust into the biting north wind. Above him, the sky was blue, but the gale-driven snow made a solid wall around him, a wall 30 feet high. It was impossible to see anything, but King knew there was someone out there on the solid ice that covered the Arctic Ocean, a man. He leaped forward into the teeth of the gale. It took him 15 minutes to reach the man, dropping to the snow when it was impossible to fight the fury of the storm, and then driving on when it let up for a moment. The man was lying face down in the snow, an Eskimo. King tugged at his parka and he tried to raise himself.
Una ikto.
Una ikto, he cried. A simple, plaintive moan. It's cold. But then the man's eyes seemed to focus on the dog, and instinctively he took hold of King's harness. Slowly he pulled himself upright, and King started back for the shore. Now the wind was at his back, and he could have raced with the storm, but his job was to help the man all he could. It was step by step, on and on. Only when the man tried to stop would King urge him forward.
Una ikto.
The reward came at last. First the dim shoreline, then the buildings of the post, and finally the voice of King's master, Sergeant Preston.
King! 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 King, where have you been, boy? Who's this? You've found someone.
Una ikto.
It's all right. I've got you now, fella.
The sergeant practically carried the man into the barracks. He removed the pack from the man's back and lifted him into one of the bunks.
Johnny! Johnny!
What is it, Sergeant?
Any hot tea on the stove out there?
Yeah.
Bring me a cup. Hurry.
Sure.
The sergeant took off the man's mittens. The hands were frozen. He unlaced the mucklucks. The feet were frozen as well. Constable Tierney arrived with a steaming cup of tea.
Isn't like you to pull your rank, Sergeant, but if you really need... Hey, who is it?
I don't know. King found him out in the storm.
He isn't from around here.
There, he's coming too a little. Let's have the tea.
Here.
Thanks. Come on, drink this. Drink. All of it. You can drink some more. That's it.
Look, he's pointing at his pack.
Well, it's safe. You don't have to worry about it. See, here it is.
Want you to open it.
Yes. There's something right on top.
Looks like a skull.
No, a stone, but the way it's weathered, it does look like a skull.
Kabluna.
What's that mean? What you saying?
One of the few Eskimo words I know means white man.
Kabluna.
He's pointing to the door.
Wait a minute. Something else in here. Looks like a note. Yes.
Make any sense?
A great deal. Listen. We've made camp. Impossible for us to return. Must have fresh dogs and supplies. Antigot will lead you to us. Are you Antigot?
Who wrote the note?
It's signed Northrop.
Northrop?
Where is the Kabluna? Where is Northrop?
I need all of the outdoors. Great.
He doesn't strength enough to talk anymore.
But Northrop, Sergeant. That's Philip Northrop, the head of the Royal Geographic Expedition. The one that Colville's here to check on.
I know.
Better go and tell the inspector right away.
Wait.
What are you doing?
Listening for a heartbeat.
Is he...
Yes, I'll report to the inspector now, Johnny.
Ted.
Exposure. They've lost our guide. One king.
Half an hour later, the sergeant was standing beside Inspector Graves in the latter's office. Anthony Colville, who seemed to be more French than English in spite of his accent, was pacing the floor in front of the desk.
Tragic. Absolutely tragic. The worst part is that we can do nothing. The man had only lived for a few more hours. Poor Northrop. Of course, he was wrong to try and reach the pole by the route he chose. He's proven that. There's nothing you can do, Inspector, I realize. Utterly impossible to find him and his men in those trackless wastes to the north. I suppose I'd better be starting back to report this dreadful loss.
We intend to try and find the party, Mr. Colville.
You what?
Yes. Sergeant Preston and I have talked it over.
But it's impossible. Where would you start looking?
Suppose you explain, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. You see this, Mr. Colville?
Heavens, a skull.
Look again.
Stone. Curious.
Isn't it?
The sergeant believes he knows where it came from.
I'm sure of it. We stopped at a small island about 500 miles north of here last summer. There was no vegetation on the island at all. It was literally paved with stones, just like this one. I've forgotten the Eskimo name for the island, but it means the skull in the stone.
You believe Antigot came from that island?
Well, he must have been, huh?
You believe that's where you'll find Northrop?
If we don't, there are Eskimo tribes who live on islands still farther north, and we have seen him.
How much farther north?
Oh, perhaps 200 miles.
You intend to make a trip of 700 miles across the Arctic Ocean in the dead of winter?
That's right.
Carrying supplies? That's foolhardy.
Perhaps, Mr. Colville, but the inspector agrees with me. It's the least we can do. There are valuable lives at stake.
Of course. Your duty. You make me a little ashamed of myself. Thinking only of the risks and not of the men who are up there somewhere.
I suggest six sleds, Inspector. Three full teams, each pulling two sleds, one empty on the way up.
I'm going to leave the details entirely in your hands, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir. We should be able to start tomorrow.
I'd like to go with you.
You, Mr. Colville?
Is it such a strange request? These men are my friends.
But you don't think we have a chance of finding them?
I do now. Your confidence inspires me. And I can be useful, Sergeant. I'm hardened to the trail and I can speak Eskimo. Don't you think you may need an interpreter?
It depends. We might.
Please let me come with you.
Very well.
I shall be ready to start whenever you are.
The expedition started out from Herschel Island the following day. Three teams, two sleds hitched in tandem to each of them, one sled empty and the other loaded with supplies. Besides the sergeant who drove the first team with King in the lead, there were two constables, Johnny Tierney and Dick Farrell, and the scientist, Anthony Colville.
On King! On you, Huskies!
At the end of a week, they reached a schooner locked in the ice. It was the Polar Star, Northrop's ship. And in the cabin, the sergeant found a small notebook.
I can't read this, Mr. Colville. It seems to be in some sort of code.
Oh, yes. It's a form of shorthand that Northrop uses. I can read it.
Notes on the voyage, I suppose.
Yes. Here's the last entry. It's dated the 1st of November. The men are in good spirits, and we leave first thing in the morning. I shall leave this book behind and similar ones at every point where we camp for any length of time. Then, in case we do not return, a record of at least part of our trip may be recovered. The future is in God's hands.
I have it, Mr. Colville.
Wouldn't it be better for me to keep it? After all, I'm a member of the society. Northrop's records must be considered as belonging to us.
They'll form part of my report. After I've made it, you can ask the inspector for them.
Very well. If that's the way you wish it to be.
That's the way I wish it to be.
The three members of the force and the scientist headed north once more across the frozen sea. 14 hours out of every 24 they spent on the trail. Hours of constant effort, with the temperature at 50 degrees below zero. A week passed, and on the seventh day, they saw the first break in the monotony of white. On the horizon, a black pile. 2 hours later, they reached the pile of stones. There were three igloos near it.
Okay. Hello, Husky. Look in the igloos, Rick.
Obviously, Northrop camped here.
Yes, that's my guess.
And the stones were piled up to serve as a landmark.
Look at them. They're all like the one the Eskimo brought back to Herschel Island.
This may have been Northrop's last camp. The place where he waited for help.
I doubt it. Find anything in the igloos, Dick?
No, nothing but empty cans. Judging from the trash, they camped here quite a while. Huh? Hey, King's digging at the base of the rock pile.
What is it, boy? Something under the rocks? Here, I'll give you a hand. Well.
What is it?
Another notebook, Mr. Colville.
Good. May I see it?
Of course.
Thank you.
Sergeant Preston and two constables watched the scientist as he hurriedly leafed through the notebook. The expression on his face changed from interest to deep concern.
Tragic.
What is?
Everything seems to have gone wrong. The dogs became sick. Most of them died.